Good evening, world. This is the podcast, Astrofast, and your host, S. Laura Cattell. Welcome back. We are going over Infinite Possibilities from the Incomparable Mike Dooley, 10th Anniversary Edition. And we have gotten all the way through... What is it, Chapter 3 we're on? Yep, we are in Chapter 3, Blessed Emotions. We're almost done with it. We left off yesterday at the fast track, but I wanted to recap really quick a few things. Predominantly what we went over yesterday, even though yesterday went really, really long. I apologize. I don't try making that long. But when inspiration takes, I just run with it. That's my intuition talking, and apparently I needed to say those things. So, all right. It has been said, but I want to recap it, and I will keep bringing it up as much as possible because it is really vital to understand. Okay? When we think we want things, right? We want that big, huge house. We want that car. Right? Maybe we want that TV, that sound system, that boat, that quad, that ATV, whatever. Right? That dirt bike. All the fancy toys that rich people get to have, right? Along with all the money and the wherewithal to afford the licenses, the insurance, and all of the other necessary expenditures that come along with those things, right? Quad doesn't do you any good if you don't have gas to put in it. It's not the things necessarily we're after. It's the way those things, or the way we expect those things to make us feel. And more often than not, it's the sense of accomplishment we're after. Materialistically, the number of things we can tick off on our fingers, the better off we're having it, right? It's really cool when you can afford the house, when you're just coming out of an apartment. All right, cool. Then maybe let's say you graduate up and you get a brand new car, and then maybe you get a brand new truck. And, well, gosh, I got a brand new truck. What about a boat? Or a quad, or a jet ski? Something I can tow with that boat. Oh, I know. How about a camper, an RV? We could go glamping. All right. What's the word I'm looking for? It's like your trophy of achievement. And when you have them in your garage and you have them on your property, instead of, say, like winning a golf tournament or a hockey tournament or something, or you get a physical trophy and you can put it in a display case. In your life, those things are, quote unquote, your trophies, your home that you've really worked hard on, the brand new car, all the toys. Okay, the more you can tick off, it's the more trophies you have, right? Okay, so now that we have that established, he said this before, and I really wanted to hone in, okay? It's the sense of accomplishment. That sense of accomplishment is a host of so many different emotions, all happening all at once. It's pride, it's joy, it's gratitude, it's relief, it's huzzah, in whatever language you want to put that in. Okay? It's yes, I did it, I can do this. It's a sense of confidence. But you can't be given it. It must be earned. All right, now Mr. Dooley uses the example in the book, Winner's Circle. Everyone wants to be in the winner's circle. Let me see if I can find the direct passage. Ah, there it is. So, we all want to be in the winner's circle of life, so to speak, because generally people in a winner's circle are people who have persevered and achieved. But being in the winner's circle, by its very definition, requires facing challenges and then winning over everyone else who faced those same challenges. You overcame more than anyone else. Nobody can give you that sense of accomplishment you feel when you genuinely, authentically, organically earn it for yourself. All right, another example that I used yesterday was the example of going from clunker to brand new, right? Most parents in their right mind don't give their kids a brand new car. Why? And I went over this yesterday also. Because, and this is why insurance companies do this, up until the age of 25, your prefrontal cortex is not finished growing yet, which is your seat of logic and reason. Up until the age of 25, most of your decision-making processes come from the amygdala, or your house of emotion, which is why the insurance rates are really high. They're not doing things logically, they're doing things from emotional reaction, which usually ends up leaving a mess. But from those messes, we understand, just as when we were little and we fell down, oops, okay, I gotta pick myself up again, or when we were little and we, you know, maybe wandered over the stove. Ooh, that's hot. I put my hand on it. I shouldn't do that again, because if I put my hand on the stove, it'll hurt me. Right? Mom and dad can tell you all day long, don't put your hand on the stove. But you don't listen until you do it for yourself and realize, oh no, that actually hurts. And you'd think that would be enough for kids to listen to parents, but it's not. Because there's millions of concepts and little nitpicky things that you need to learn before you become an adult. And more often than not, you're just going to go and do that thing anyways to learn it for yourself. Sorry, I got off on a tangent, but example I used yesterday was, all right, when you're starting off, most of us start off with the jalopy. The car we could afford, and we always have to fix it, so we get really good at fixing it with all sorts of weird MacGyver things, right? Excuse me. And then we get a little farther along in our journey, and then we can level up to a nicer used car. Not new yet, but a nicer used car. This one has more bells and whistles, maybe the seat's not torn, the windshield's all in one piece, right? We treat this one a little better, but some things still happen. And we go for that for a few more years, and then we finally get to a stage in our career or job, whatever, and we get a bump and a raise, or we get a better credit score, whatever. And we finally decide to go for a new car. What do? You baby that thing, right? You watch your driving. You watch the speed limit. You watch the dings and the dents, and you watch every last shopping cart when you're parking. Why do you appreciate it so much? Because you went and owned the jalopy, and then you owned the semi-nice, and then you may have had a couple of other cars in between there because those eventually died, and the only thing you could afford was whatever cash you had on hand, which got you another jalopy, or it got you another semi-nice used car. Something under the $5,000 range, right? So when you finally do get to that new car, you protect it, you baby it, you value it. You don't value it the same if you're given that brand new car right off the bat. And you know you don't. So, everybody wants to win be in the winner's circle, but you have to face the adversity and overcome the adversity. I've said this before and I'll say it again. You have to develop that intestinal fortitude. You don't develop that intestinal fortitude, interior fortitude, without going through challenges, without going through adversity. All right. Let me put it to you this way. If I were to walk into your room tomorrow, right, Average Joe, if I were to walk into your room tomorrow and say, hey, let's go negotiate a multi-million dollar deal. You're the lead. Let's go. What's your response? After the... I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. Oh my goodness. Never mind. You haven't even been in the negotiating room yet. Where you've got to stare down representatives from companies that are representing multiples of millions of dollars. You think you might go to the bathroom and throw up? You think you might, you know, maybe you'll tinkle yourself? Develop the sweats? Develop that pit in the bottom of your stomach? Yeah. You have to develop the internal fortitude necessary. And I call it the intestinal fortitude because usually that's what goes to shit when you're nervous, scared, or upset. Right? Your stomach just goes to nuts. Like somebody was kneading it in a bread maker. Okay? So when you're going through challenges and you're coming up on the challenges, it's not an indication you're on the wrong path. You have got to flip that perspective and that mindset around and view them as the challenges that they are, so that you know when you overcome them, that's another knock in your cap. It's another skill point in your vast repertoire of skill points you've earned thus far in your life. Early on, when you were a baby, your skill points were crawling on your own, walking on your own, feeding yourself, going to the bathroom yourself. Okay, those were the easy ones, right? There wasn't a point where you stopped and said, you know what, potty training just isn't for little Johnny or Susie. We're just going to have to, you know, accept that they're never going to get potty trained. You don't stop. You keep going until they figure out how to use the toilet. Same thing with walking. Oh, well, little Johnny's just not taking to it. I guess he's just going to crawl for the rest of his life. No! Alright, you have to believe in yourself even when no one else will. And persevere towards the dreams that you have, not someone else's. You will absolutely get so frustrated trying to pursue someone else's dream instead of your own. Right? So, we're going to finish off chapter 4 real quick today. I'm going to try and keep this a quick podcast. So, we left off at the fast track. And before I go any farther, of course, my shout out to the restaurant industry, all my guys and gals out there in Foodland, thank you for all you do, all you've done, all the hardships, all the crappy bosses, all the entitled customers, the late nights, the sacrifices, the missed every single holiday, birthday, anniversary, and the list goes on. It does take a certain passion to do that job. And as I want to do, to remind people once in a while, why I do my shout out to the restaurant industry back when COVID started in March of 2020. And a couple of my line cooks pages that I still belong to because I like providing value back to that community. I learned a lot when I was in cooking and cooking professionally. And so, you know, I want to share. I know a lot of this stuff. And every single day was, can I get a herd? Which is kitchen speak for, can I get some respect for this person? Whatever. Heard is an affirmative. This person lost their life. That person lost their life. Sometimes I get it 2-3 times in a day. Suicide, suicide, suicide. And it just drove me to tears. Thankfully, I'm not hearing it anymore, but I'm not stopping. Because there's nothing wrong with putting positivity back out there, hope back out there, love back out there. So for all my guys and gals out there in the food industry, if you are feeling overwhelmed, stressed out, and you feel like you can't go on, please, please, please don't do something you can't take back. Don't quit. Don't you dare quit. There is better life around the corner. Even if you can't see it, even if you can't know it, believe and have hope that it is there. With the same level of belief of when you're driving on a dark night and your headlights are illuminating only a few feet in front of you, you know that the road is still there. And you keep going even if you can only see the road a few steps ahead at a time. You don't deserve to stop now. You deserve all the good things you've been crying over that you don't have access to right now. I'm begging you, please look up, dry your eyes, and go forward. Don't quit. Please don't quit. Okay, fast track. Interestingly, we are actually inspired by the way we want to feel compared to how we now feel. So it shouldn't be forgotten that how you now feel is a perception. Of course, there's no dream that's unattainable. And there is nothing you can't do. But if we place our attention on the perception of where we are now, giving ourselves credit for having made it this far and loving ourselves as we are, then with the happiness that this frame of mind will yield, going anywhere else our dreams might lead becomes even easier. After all, who do you think could achieve more? Someone who starts out happy? Or someone who is motivated by unhappiness. We're all different. And sometimes discontent can be a great motivator. But I think we all know that people who are happy often go further in their lives and faster than those who are unhappy. If you're happy, you feel less stress to have to change your life. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't or that you won't change. But it does mean you'll worry less. You won't feel like you're carrying the world on your shoulders, and you won't feel like your happiness lies a deal away, a contract away, a day away, a dream away, or a person away. I am going to call him out for the contradiction he just put in there. Because earlier he states that's messing with the cursed house. And if you're reading this book properly, you should not be hinging your happiness on anything like that next deal, that next contract, that next day off, that next dream, or that next person. Right? And I'm going to call him out again. Yes, happiness makes you less prone to worry. But as they like to say, necessity is the mother of invention. And sometimes when you're going through life, you don't move. You don't feel the motivation to change. Until you've reached peak uncomfortableness, if that makes any sense. All right. A good analogy for this is the, I'm not sure if it's true or not, the farmer's dog sitting on the porch, and the neighbor comes by and notices the dog is laying on top of a nail, but he doesn't seem perturbed. And the friend looks at the farmer and says, "Why don't you get your dog to move? He's sitting on a nail." And he's like, "Oh, he's not uncomfortable enough yet." It's okay to be discontented with where you are if you're not where you want to be. Let that discontent fuel you. Don't let it own you. Let it fuel you. Understand the very important difference and distinct difference between those two. It is perfectly fine to be discontented with just having an apartment. It's perfectly fine to be discontented with staying put. It's perfectly fine to be discontented with being stuck. It's perfectly fine to be discontented with an unhappy marriage. The trick is not to sit there and wallow in your discontent. The trick is to let that discontent fuel you to either improve your marriage or find a new one, either to improve your working situation or find a new one, to lose weight, to get a new job, to get a new house, to accelerate your life, to reach farther than you thought you could or where you are currently. But as we went over earlier in the book, and it's well understood in the personal development area, self-help and manifestation and all that. All right. When you're conjuring emotions, and we went over it earlier, he put it as wallowing in your emotions. And you're, let's say you're in a spot. All right. No, actually, I take that back. Whatever you focus on is what you attract. Period. That's it. End of story. Whatever you focus on, you attract. Has nothing to do with right or wrong. Okay? We all know plenty of rich assholes. And we know plenty of poor, sweet angels. We also know plenty of poor assholes and plenty of rich, sweet angels. Goodness is not a determination factor. Spirituality is not a determining factor. It's whatever it is you focus on the most. Period. And we've gone over this because the reason why it's we pay attention to negative information is because our brains are not hardwired for happiness. They are hardwired for survival. You are naturally prone to pay attention to negative information first, foremost. That's the top of your list because it's your subconscious's primary function. One of its primary functions is to keep you out of danger. It is going to harp on every single piece of negative news. All right. However, when you turn that around, you twist it around, you use it to your favor, when you sit there and wallow, as he puts it, in positive emotions, the exact same effect happens. So if you're wallowing in a situation of hate and anger and jealousy and all those things, you're going to attract to you events and circumstances and people that are going to reinforce those feelings, those emotions that you're feeling. Flip it around, and when you wallow in joy, happiness, harmony, okay, circumstances, people, places, and events will then be brought into your life to continue the joy, peace, happiness, harmony, so on and so forth. All right, but most people don't even realize that's what's happening in the background. And so what they take what's happening as evidence that their expectation was correct and their perception is correct, without realizing they have the power to change it. All right. So, jewels in your crown of understanding. There's little we could ever achieve, now or in 10,000 lifetimes, that compares to the simple fact that right now we are A-R-E, in quotation marks. Right now, we are alive in time and space. Right now, we are free to think as we please. Right now, it's our turn in the sun. There are millions of people in the world who'd give almost anything to be in your shoes, have your life, and have your perspectives. In fact, all that you now have is far more than many could even dream of having. You're blessed. I'm blessed. And yet it's so easy to lose this perspective and find ourselves unappreciative and unhappy. By catching yourself when you feel like this, you can use those emotions to understand why your perception is off balance, and most importantly, which beliefs of yours are keeping you from the truth, thereby enabling yourself to deliberately move your miraculous, amazing life forward in a direction that pleases you. And I'm going to add a caveat here real fast. All right. It's a psychological phenomenon, and it has to do with the amount of processing power your brain has at any given moment. Is it big, huge, wondrous, and complex? Yes, absolutely. Is the processing point, is the processor the choke point of any computer? Yes, absolutely. And it's no different in a human being than it is in a computer. Okay? What ends up happening, all right, is when you develop a routine, all right? When, let's say, you've just moved into your first home. You just signed the mortgage on the dotted line. You pop the champagne. You've got the keys. Woohoo! You move all your furniture in. You get settled. And what happens? 6 months in, it's old hat. Why? Same thing with a new car. All right. Because it's no longer fresh and new, your mind automatically moves it out of your constant focus area and into the background where the subconscious takes over with your repeated habits and routines. Because that's what's happened. It happens everywhere. It happens every time. When you're used to something, you stop valuing it as much. Okay? And every time you get something new, you become used to it at some point. This is how relationships can end up failing. This is how cars go into disrepair. This is how homes, all right, start looking in disrepair. As we move in and we get used to it, and then life takes over, and 2 years have gone by before we realize it, and poof! The house isn't new anymore. The car isn't new anymore. The relationship isn't new anymore. All the bubbly fun stuff of when it was new is now not. And now you're used to it. There's no woo-woo in that. That's basic human psychology. Okay? But it is a very, very, very effective means of generating more into your life to remind yourself to be grateful of where you are. A good litmus for that is to go back over where you've been. Okay? If you were living in mom and dad's house, now you're in an apartment. Yay! If you're living in your first home, out of an apartment. Yay! If you finally afforded your first car. Yay! Okay? Remind yourself of where you've come. And be appreciative every day of where you are, because there was a time when where you are was where you wanted to be. If you can manage to take a few minutes out of your day and show genuine gratitude, genuine gratitude, for that realization, for those accomplishments, for all the things that you've done, and remind yourself of how far you've come. That beautiful feeling of gratitude, because guess what you're doing? You're wallowing now in gratitude. Right? Which will then bring more things to be grateful for to you. This is where that phrase comes from. If you're, you got to be grateful for what you have before you can get more. It's not a spiel. It's practical advice without any actual religious connotation. You don't have to attach any supreme being in the sky to this one. It works with anyone. Just show gratitude for where you are. And if you're in the dumps somewhere and your life isn't where you want it to, you can always use what we were growing up as. If you don't finish your plate, there's starving kids in China that are going to be hungry, and you'd be grateful to have that food. Anyways, that's what we were listening to when we were growing up in the 80s. But, I mean, you don't really need to go far. Look in India. Look in China. Look in Nicaragua. Look in Venezuela. Look in any place in the world that's right now war-torn and people don't have access to clean running water or reliable electricity or hospitals or any of that stuff. Christ, paved streets. Building codes. You have a relative assumption in this country that when you buy a house, it's up to what we call code. Or you can have a home inspector come in and inspect to see if it's up to code. Alright. There was a really powerful image I saw. Oh, great. 6 years ago? Yeah, we'll say 6 years ago. And it was a teacher teaching the poorest of the poor students, I think it was just outside of New Delhi, on the concrete side of an overpass with donated materials to the students that would show up. Okay, they were on the dirt ground using whatever supplies they had available, taking notes and being very, very studious because they realized they were getting an education where otherwise they might not have. And the teacher was writing in chalk, doing a math lesson on the side, basically against the side of the freeway. And the overpass provided the shade. Right? You don't have to look far to find someone that's worse off than you are right now. And you know it. We went over an entire 28 days worth of gratitude exercises back when we went over Rhonda Byrne's second edition after she did The Secret, which was The Magic, which I didn't realize was a 28-day course before I cracked open the book. So, alright. You don't have to look far. And it might seem counterproductive or counterintuitive, or like your current situation doesn't deserve it. That is not the reason why you are practicing the gratitude to draw other instances to be grateful for into your life. And to recognize that where you are, someone wishes they could be. That is absolutely something to be grateful for. Not that you're taking from somebody else's plate, you're blessed. Learn, grow, and get better, and then you can go and bless others. I just want to put that caveat in there. So emotions are actually the reward of any time and space journey, giving depth and meaning to every experience. Left alone, they show themselves when our illusions are at their most captivating levels, thereby hinting at the beliefs that then hold the greatest influence in our lives. They're the unexpected prizes of an odyssey into the jungles of time and space, and their yield is a wisdom and compassion unattainable by intellect alone. Embrace and understand your emotions, especially the happy ones, especially the unhappy ones, and appreciate their meaning, even their beauty, in your life. Then, from the journey, you can come to know yourself, your divinity, and the awesome power you wield. A power so great that all dreams remain forever possible, wherever you may find yourself today. And that is the end of chapter 3. Tomorrow we will come back at chapter 4. Life is waiting for you. Alright. I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and he put it beautifully. Emotions are actually the reward of any time and space journey. Alright, you as a human being, you come in pre-programmed with this entire range of emotion. Okay? They're all there to help you. All of them. Because they're all there to teach you things you cannot be taught other than by being in a body, experiencing physical reality with physical senses. Alright? Those emotions give depth and meaning to every experience, both good and bad. Grief, loss, depression, sadness, anger, hate, jealousy, joy, harmony, peace, serenity, serendipity, extravagance, pleasure, right? Courage, faith. Well, I'm not quite sure faith would qualify as emotion. I'm gonna leave that in just in case. But you get my point. You didn't come here to just feel happy emotions. You don't grow as a person if you never encounter adversity. You appreciate that brand new car more when you've gone through the struggles of owning and having to go through the experience of having the jalopy, the used car. Maybe you had to take the bus, whatever. Maybe you had to beg a ride and you got sick of it. You then appreciate those things more once you have accomplished it for yourself, and it cannot be given. It must be earned. They're not punishments. They're challenges. They're challenges for you to surmount, to overcome, to get to the place where you've told your focus you want to go. Are you the one programming where you're going, or are you letting it go by default? Reacting haphazardly to everything that life throws at you. I hope by now you realize just how important your thoughts are. And it has been said, not by me, but by many others, and I'm just going to echo it. If you just knew how powerful your thoughts were, you would never again think another negative thought. Flat out. Alright, so we will come back tomorrow at chapter 4. Life is waiting for you. We're getting a little long today, so go ahead and do a little wiggle. and get in a little stretch, and we will do our 2-minute brain break. Go ahead and close your eyes. And let's take a nice, slow, deep breath in. And let's take another beautiful, deep breath in. And let it back out. And just let your awareness settle into the space. You can imagine in your mind's eye your family, your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, the delivery man, postman, people at your local supermarket. I want you to imagine that every single one of them is heaping you with praise. Congratulations! Man, you really did it. Good job. That's fantastic. Look at you going there, getting high. Man, the view from the top must be amazing. Whatever praise sounds like for you, whatever congratulations looks like to you, I want you to, as vividly as you can, imagine, visualize every handshake, every smile, every pat on the back, every uplifting conversation. What do you feel when they tell you these things? Does it make you feel elated? Happy? Overcome? Emotional? Grateful? Relieved? Excited? Or any other emotion that comes with you being congratulated. I meant to do that one yesterday, but we got a little long, and I wanted to wrap it up, so we just did the 2-minute. So, go ahead and explore that one. Alright? The entire purpose of manifesting from the end result is that you haven't gotten to that end result yet. You're not where you want to be. So it's gonna feel a little fake. It's gonna feel off. Alright? Even if right now you feel like you're the most unliked person that ever walked the earth, imagine yourself being congratulated. Heaped with praise, pats on the back, smiles all around, everyone you meet. And let yourself feel all of those wonderful, stirring emotions that come up from hearing praise. Now, for some of you, that might actually feel a little bit scary. If you're used to and are expecting negative commentary, then you know what I mean. Don't you dare let yourself believe that you are anything less than completely worthy and deserving of every good thing you have ever wished, wanted for in your life. Don't you dare. I will see you guys tomorrow. Have a fantastic rest of your evening. This is the podcast Sassafras. Good night.